a passage I want to read. It's Genesis, the 15th chapter. And Abraham's been on my mind this week. Done some writing, some sharing just about some things that just became so much more clear to me in the past several days. And the scripture says Abraham believed in the Lord. And it's actually from this passage here. And he counted it to him for righteousness. And that's not my message this morning. But that's why Abraham's been on my heart. He's been in my mind. The scripture says his faith was counted to him for righteousness. The prophet Micah had asked the question, said, wherewith, or with what shall I approach unto the Lord? What does he require of me? If I'm going to come to the Lord, if I'm going to walk with, what does he want from me? How many of you ever asked God, what do you want from me? What do you require? And he began to think, does he want 10,000 rivers of oil? Does he want 20,000 rams offered? What does he want from me? And people sometimes ask the Lord, come, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do? Because people so often seek to approach unto the Lord and they seem to get no response. There seems to be no answer. And it's like, what do you want from me? And finally, he said, you want 10,000 rivers of oil? Do you want 20,000 rams? Do you want me to offer my firstborn for the sin of my soul? What do you want from me? And Micah wrote, he said, the Lord has showed me what is good. He says, but to do justly, do what's right, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. And that was an answer given to Israel back in the day of God's judgment. Isaiah spoke something also very similar. God asked through the prophet Isaiah, he said this, said, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool, where is the house you build unto me? And it's a different question, but it is the same question. What are you going to do for me? And again, if you're asking the Lord, what does he want from me? And God's asking, what are you going to do for me? And they thought they could build him a temple, or say, we have built you a temple. We put all the gold and the silver. God said, heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you built unto me? Where is the place of my rest? He said, the gold's mine. The silver's mine. All these things have been. All these things have my hand made. So where's the house you built unto me? What are you going to do to add to me? How do we come before God? God answered. He said, to this man, to this woman will I look. He or she that is of a broken spirit and a contrite heart and trembles at my word. He says, I'll look to this one. I'm not looking to your silver, your gold. I'm not looking for your religious works and your offerings and the promises that you would do. The things you make promise to God that you'll do. He says, I'm not looking for that because I know how men's promises go. I know how they end up. They promise, but the end is not according to their promise. So he says, that's not what I'm looking for. He says, but I'm looking for someone with a broken spirit and a contrite heart and who trembles at my word. He said, that's the one I look for. That's the one that I will dwell with. He said, you can offer a ram. He says, you might as well cut off a dog's neck. And he begins to name all the things they thought God wanted. He said, you might as well kill a man. Offer me those things. He said, this is what I want. This is what I look for. I look for a broken spirit. I look for a contrite heart. And I look for someone that trembles at my word. I look for someone that my word means something to them. That my word pierces their heart. That my word, that they believe me. He says, when I find that, a broken spirit and a contrite heart, and they tremble at my word, he said, I'll make them my house. I'll make them the place of my rest. Well, the Scripture speaks of Abraham. Those were in the prophets. He said, what did Abraham find? What did Abraham discover that God wanted? And the Scripture says this, says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. God wanted someone that would believe Him. And that was trembling at His Word. God looked for someone that would believe Him. How many times have I heard people, but I don't do these things, and I try to do right, and all these things. Yet God wants someone that will believe Him. That will believe His Word, that will believe His promises. He says, if I find that, a broken spirit, a contrite heart, and they tremble at my word, I'll make them my house. I'll come to them. This is what Abraham found out. Scripture says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And the righteousness that God was looking for was the righteousness, and I want you to hear this morning, of even a sinner. And I want you to say that. This might surprise some people that I would say this, but even a sinner that would believe Him. You say, well, there can be no righteousness in a sinner. That'll be the one thing God will accept from a sinner seeking to come to Him. Will you believe me? Will you believe me? I don't have the righteousness of gold and treasures to offer you and religious works and great history of keeping commandments. I don't have all that to offer you, Lord. What can I offer you? And He said, believe me. Well, Genesis, the 15th chapter, and this was, I was over here praying this morning, and in this passage of Scripture, I heard these words. 15:1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, or to Abram in a vision, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now, at this time, God has already done much for Abraham. He's called him out of the land of his fathers. He's called him into the land of Canaan. He's met with him. He's talked to him. He's fought with Abraham, protected Abraham, did many things. And Abraham has just come back from being blessed by Melchizedek. And he's delivered Lot and many people from an invading army. He won't take any of the spoil. He said, lest you say you've made me rich. He won't take any of it. And Abraham returns to his own land. And the Lord appears unto Abraham and says, I'm thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abraham, I'm your reward. You didn't take the silver and the gold. You didn't take the spoil. I'm your shield, and I'm your exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? And the wording, we might miss the point, but actually it's like this. Lord, what can you give me? What can you give me? I don't have any children. Abraham is already, he's not a young man anymore. His wife is barren. And what can you give me? Some people will understand this. Maybe if you're young, you won't understand this. But as you get on up in life, you get a little older in life, and you start realizing the emptiness of things. How many know what I'm talking about? The emptiness of things. And if people start looking, and first, if you're wise, you'll be looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. But people, even in the natural, they start looking to their family, their children, their grandchildren, the things. And Abraham's a man, and he's got wealth, he's got sheep, he's got oxen. And the Lord said, Abraham, I'm your blessing. He said, what can you give me? When I'm over, it's over. When I'm done, it's done. What can you give me? Seeing I go childless and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Everything will go to a servant when I'm gone. It's over. What can you give me? And I want that question. Let that sink down in your heart. God, what can you give me? And Abraham said, behold, to me you have given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth and said, look toward heaven, and tell if you be able to number, tell the stars if you be able to number them. And he said, so shall thy seed be. And I don't know the age of Abraham, 85 years of age. And that puts it in perspective, doesn't it? 85 years of age, he's no child, his wife is barren. And that's why he's asking, what can you give me, Lord? I mean, you heap up gold in a few years, it passes on to someone else, it's gone. You give me great flocks, you give me great lands, and in just a few years it's gone. What can you give me? And God speaks to an 85-year-old man whose wife has been barren. He has no children. Who's asking, what can you give me, Lord? And he said, you look at the stars. Now, this doesn't work in Houston. But how many have ever been maybe to the mountains or been to Africa, been away from the population areas and the polluted areas where you can see the stars? The Milky Way, beyond number. How many have ever seen that? You don't see it. If you think, well, it was clear last night and I saw that. No, you haven't seen that. You have not seen what Abraham could look up and see. And beyond number, impossible to try to number the stars of the heaven that they would see in almost a blur. And he said, tell the stars if you be able to number them. And he's speaking to an 85-year-old man with a barren wife. And he says, so shall your seed be. This is what I'm going to give you. And he what? Believed in the Lord. And he counted it, the Lord counted it to him for righteousness. And I want to say this, something that I shared this week in a Simply Christ, it just hit me so simple about this counted for righteousness. Theologians take the counted for righteousness and they say like, I gave you $10, but we're going to count it as $100. How's that work, Brother David? And that's how they do that. When God, when you believe upon Jesus, they say He'll count you as holy, He'll count you as righteous, He'll count you as perfect, He'll count because He's counting your faith as righteousness. That's absurd. what hit me, I was driving down the road this week, and the Lord just spoke in my heart and said, one man's junk is another man's treasure. And all of a sudden I understood that what men highly esteem is nothing before God. But what men sometimes view as nothing, God uses great treasure. And finding someone that would believe Him when He spoke staggering, unbelievable promises to him. I want you to think of Abraham. God calls him out of his father's house, said, come and go to a land that I will give you. And he goes not knowing where he's going, believing that God's going to give him the land. And from there, in situation after situation, God makes promises that are foolish to our logic, to our reason, to our imagination. And time after time again, Abraham believes God. And that's what was accounted to him for righteousness. Because a person believes God, it affects everything of their life, of what they do, even of their actions, because they believe God. They tremble at His Word. It means something to them. Someone says, I believe in Jesus, and then go out and live for the devil. God's not impressed with that. And they don't believe in Jesus. They're not trusting in Him. They're not serving Him at all. Someone wrote me an email asking me about what we preach, and I just gave some scriptures. What John said, that Jesus was manifest to destroy the works of the devil, that he that sins of the devil, and whosoever is born of God does not sin. And they wrote me back, they said, you know, I know the scriptures that you refer to, but I know the heart of men, or the heart of humanity. And that's why those scriptures are not true. And see, this lady was professing faith. And I wrote back, that's not faith at all. Faith at all is when God speaks something that's unbelievable, yet you believe it. When God speaks something that's beyond you, above you, impossible for you, but based upon the fact that He promised it, you believe it. Stagger not at the promise of God. That's what God counted as righteousness. But here's Abraham. And he believes in the Lord. And the Lord counts it to him for righteousness. Romans, the 5th chapter. Don't you keep that question in your mind that Abraham asked God. Abraham believed God. He gave God what God desired. He believed in Him. Now, I want to stop here for a second. I can get someone in trouble here. How many wives have a husband that you believe in? Wives are looking around. Husbands are looking around. Does that take on a real meaning to you? How many husbands have a wife that you believe in? Can you see that? It's more, well, I believe that Brother Surface has a wife. He believes he has a wife named Christine. He believes in Christine. Let's stop right here in the middle. How many can see that Brother Surface believes in Christine? He trusts her. He believes her. He believed in the Lord. That's why he would leave his country and follow the Lord. That's why he would offer Isaac, after Isaac is born, God asked for him, he offered him to the Lord. He believed in the Lord. He trusted the Lord. And that's what was accounted to him for righteousness. He gave God what God wanted.
Last week I touched on this, and I know it touched some people, that people spend their lives in the church trying to get God to receive something from them. I've worked, I've done this, I've labored, I've done all these things, but never given God what He wanted. He wanted them to surrender to Him, to believe in Him, to trust Him, to believe His Word. And that's what He's wanted, and He'll take nothing less. And you can labor your whole life in religion, and if you won't give God what He wants, He'll never receive what you offer. So Abraham gives God what he wants. Or God finds in Abraham what he wants. And it's what we call the righteousness of faith, what the Scripture calls. But that question that Abraham asked, but God, what will you give me? What can you give me? Scripture says this in the 5th chapter of Romans, the 12th verse. This is where God answers that question. If you will give God what He asks for. You see, you cannot have faith and not believe God. Does that make sense? That woman that wrote me, a Christian, child of God, but I don't believe the Word of God because I know... Well, I wrote her back. That's not faith at all. Faith is believing and believing in God. That's what faith is. You cannot have faith. I have faith, but I don't believe the Word of God. I have faith, but I don't believe the Gospel. I have faith, but I don't believe Jesus. No, you don't have faith. You have a philosophy. Abraham didn't just believe something. He believed what God said. God said, you look at the stars. If you can number them, so shall your seed be. And it won't be a servant. It'll be out of your own loins that you'll have a seed. Abraham believed God. You see, we call things faith that are not faith. If God tells me one thing, and Brother Surface tells me another, then believing Brother Surface is not faith. It's not faith. It's unbelief. Because faith is believing God. If God tells me something, and everything I experienced in life tells me something different, so I won't believe God because I know by experience, that's not faith. Faith believes God. You cannot have faith and not believe God. You say, well, I believe God, I have faith, but I just take this part of the gospel and I just set it aside and I'm going to get to heaven by my faith. What faith is that? What faith is that? If I say to you, well, I believe you, you're an honest man, but I think you're lying to me today, and I think you lied to me yesterday, and I think you'll lie to me tomorrow, but I believe you. No, you don't believe me. And that's how people treat the Lord. Well, I like this verse here, but don't tell me what the Scripture says. I'm going to speak as a fool. Paul said, I speak as a fool when I glory. You know what people like about this church? We preach the Word of God. Do you know what people don't like about this church? We preach the Word of God. What people like is we preach the Word of God. What people don't like is we preach the Word of God. But that question to the one, sinner or saint, whoever you are this morning, that will offer God what He's looking for, come before Him with that broken, contrite spirit. That's why I say surrender. Quit fighting. Surrender to the Lord. It takes a lot out of you to surrender. And believe Him. And then He will answer Abraham's question, what can you give me? Well, let's read here. Let's read God's answer. Wherefore? It's by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And God's saying, let's see how things are. Adam sinned, and you were made a sinner. That's your barrenness. That's the being childless. Adam sinned, and you were made a sinner. That's how things are. And death by sin. And death entered. And condemnation entered. And someone that the Lord might be speaking to would ask, is that the way things are? You're a sinner? When did you decide to be one? Or has it been with you always? That's the way things are. What can God give to a person like that? For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned. And you know what he's saying? Sin's not imputed where there is no law. Even if there's no law against the sin in you, it's still sin. I want to tell you something. There was a day in the United States of America you would get locked up for pornography. Is that true? Now, all those laws are struck down. It's freedom of speech. And people say, well, it's not against the law. Doing nothing wrong. And it's destroying you. Eating your soul out of you. That's what it means. It's not imputed when there is no law. But death still reigns. Condemnation, damnation still reigns. Law or no law. Is this where you are? Is this where you find yourself? Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned at the similitude of Adam's transgression. Who's the figure of him to come? Death still reigned. But here's God begins to tell us what He can give us. You want to see that this morning? Whoever you are that will believe Him, will offer Him what He wants, a broken spirit, a contrite heart, and tremble at His word, that you will believe Him. You say, I don't have anything else to offer. But you have this. If you have this, you can offer it to Him. You can come before Him. He'll receive it. If you surrender the broken spirit or broken and a contrite heart, tremble at His word, you can come. What God got for you, well, it's not like the offense. See, Adam gave you something. We say mom and dad gave it to us. My dad was an alcoholic. My granddad was an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. My mom was angry. My grandma was angry, and I'm angry. Well, Adam had it before them. But he said, the gift, he said, not as the offense, so is the gift. I've got a gift for you. The offense of one, many be dead. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace is a gift that comes that God gives by grace. By one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded to many. Adam did something and gave it to many. I want you to see this. He said, Jesus did something and gives this gift to many. Can you see that? It's like what Adam did, but not like what Adam did. Because Adam did something and took something away from many. He took life. He took fellowship with God. He brought in sin. But He did it for many. He did it for all. Well, Christ died for all. And if you will offer God what He's asking for, just that broken spirit, broken and contrite heart, and believe Him. He said, I have a gift. I can give you something. And you might be saying, God, you can't give me anything. What can you do for someone like me? What gift could possibly help me? He said, you need to see my gift. He said, it's by grace. He says, I give it to you. You're not going to do it. I give it to you. The grace of God and the gift by grace is abounded in many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. You getting excited? You know how it is, the child, the birthday, the Christmas, or whatever, and you're waiting for the gift. What is the gift? They keep talking about the gift. He said, so is the gift. Not like one that sinned, so is the gift. The judgment was by one to condemnation. One man and one sin and brought condemnation upon all. But you say, it's not just one sin with me, it's many, it's my life, it's every day. It's what my life has been. He says, the free gift is of, and that word of actually is from. It's from many offenses unto justification. The free gift is for you. It can do something for you. It can come to you. And who said it's not just one offense? It's many offenses. But there's a gift. It's what God can give unto you. He says the free gift is the many offenses unto justification. And that's to make righteous. You'll see this more in a minute. For if by one's offense, death reigned by one. One man sinned, you became a sinner, death and condemnation came upon you, rules over you, and will rule eternally if you don't receive a gift. Much more, they that receive the abundance of grace and what? The gift of righteousness. God says, this is my gift to you. This is a gift for every person, for every man, for every woman. It's a gift of righteousness. One man stole from you. Adam stole from you. He stole your life. He stole righteousness. He stole peace with God from you. But God has a gift. He will give to any man, to any woman. He calls it His gift. Not works of righteousness, not efforts at righteousness. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a new heart. It's a new spirit. It's a new nature. It's a new mind. And it's a new desire. It's a new inner man. The life manifested through this body. It's a gift of God. And this whole passage is about the gift. It's the answer to the question, what can you give to me if I believe you, if I follow you? And God's answer is, I've got a gift that changes everything. I've got a gift that'll make you a new creature, a new creation, a gift. You offered me the righteousness of faith. That was one thing any person can offer. Then I will give you my gift. And if you receive this gift, death won't be reigning over you. You'll be reigning in life. I want to tell you this. I've never been able to explain it except maybe right now at this passage. But you've heard me talk about the point, the footprints. How many are familiar with the poem, Footprints in the Sand? It's a well-known, beautiful poem, and I love it. Someone talking to the Lord, and they were saying, you know, through life, they watched, they saw their life as footprints in the sand. But they said, they noticed something. There were two sets of footprints most of the way, but through the hard times, the unbearable times, they noticed there were only one set of footprints. And they were asking the Lord, Lord, why did you leave me in such hard times? And the poem goes, the Lord responded, said, child, it was in those times that I carried you. And that's beautiful. And that's wonderful. But I've always said this, and you that have been here have heard me say this over the decades. I felt like He's carried me from day one. I do that. Through storms, through trials, through good times. You know, the Lord has carried me. And I understand that they that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. They'll reign over sin, over darkness, over the powers of the enemy. And none of those things that come and will come can do anything because they don't reign over you. You sit above them and reign with Christ over them. And they that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. God's saying, if you receive my gift, it won't just change today, it will change your life. Can you see that? It will change your life. Because they that receive the abundance, grace, and the gift, what is the gift? It's the gift of righteousness, shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, as Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. I want you to see that. You say, well, the gift of God is eternal life, and that means I'm going to heaven. That's His gift. We just read, five verses here, that every verse is telling us about this gift. And it's the gift of righteousness. That's God's gift for you. See, we offer God that simple thing that He asked for. You find any person in this place that you know they have a reality with Christ, and they won't tell you when they came to the Lord how good they were. I'll tell you this. You find the person that you think was good all their life, and yet you know they have a reality with Christ, they won't tell you how good they were. They'll tell you how lost they were. See, the one that tells you how good they were is the one that's still trying to get God to receive something God doesn't want from them. You know, if I promised God I'd preach and I'd be in service every Sunday and every Wednesday, if I promise God I'll do that if you'll save me, God would not even acknowledge me. If it did, He'd say, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, and someone who will tremble at my word. They'll believe me. So don't think any great or religious thing that you need to offer to God.
But don't hold back the thing that He wants. Because if you hold it back, you will never find it. You'll live your life, good or bad, you'll live your life without Him. But if you're giving that simple thing, just a surrender, and just believing because He said it. Is that true, Sister Lori? That He says, I have a gift that passes all understanding. It passes all human comprehension. You give me, and this is God saying, you give me that simple thing that I want. I have a gift that money cannot buy. That works cannot produce. It changes everything. It is the gift of righteousness. Oh Lord, and Abraham believed in the Lord and became the father of many nations. Could we stand this morning? How shall I approach unto the Lord? What shall I bring? With what shall I come? Come with a broken spirit, a contrite heart. And He says, believe me. Let's come worship the Lord.